to look at the first epistle of John this morning by way of exhortation. And when we open up the page, we see that John is writing to us, but he's also making a connection, I think, to his gospel as well. And he reads that that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And straight away, I think my mind goes back to when John writes in his gospel about Thomas meeting Jesus, and he shows him his hands and his feet, and he says, "Blessed are they, Thomas, who have seen, who have not seen, and yet have believed." And that's us, isn't it, brethren and sisters? We're blessed because we've read the Word of God, and the Word of God has opened our eyes to the Word of God, His plan, His message, and the world in which we live. That the world in which we live is in darkness. And that we are so blessed to have had the Word of God enlightened to us. I suppose if you've always been brought up as a Christadelphian through generations of Christadelphians, like my wife's family, the Hemingways, going back donkey's years, it's not quite so clear. But I wasn't brought up as a Christadelphian. I was said I wasn't baptised till I was 30, so I'd been knocked around about it at that time. And for me, it was just absolutely enlightening. We had a baptism last night at South, a lady who was 88 years old. And her story is incredible, that she came to learn the Bible when she was about 8 by a chap who wasn't a Christadelphian, but had some connections with Christadelphians, we think. And now after 80 odd years of walking in the wilderness, has decided that she's at last seen the light. And that's how I felt when I was baptised. I realised that I'd seen the light, and I was in tears when I was being baptised, because it just meant so much. Because having been out with my mates and boozing and drinking and all the rest of it that goes with it, womanising and whatever, and just playing rugby and football, to realise that there's more in life than the world in which we live, it does really change. And I think that's sadly one of the things that you miss if you've been brought up as a Christadelphian through generations and generations of it. It's not quite so stark and clear sometimes. And this is what I think, how John may have felt when he's been revealed the Word of God by the Lord Jesus, how he's comparing how he's been brought up over the years, and now it's enlightened him, it's changed him completely. You know, if you go to verse 4 of the passage you're reading, he says, "And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full," that you should be enjoying everything that has been offered to you now by the Word of God. So if you turn back to the actual Gospel of John, and the very first chapter, and we pick it up at verse 5. "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." It didn't comprehend the Word of God from the darkness of the world that was there. And then you read in verse 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Now, in the diaglot, that word "made" is enlightened. The world was enlightened with him. So here, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the Jewish world to enlighten it, and they still walked in darkness and knew him not. In the same way that the world talks about the Lord Jesus Christ now, about his birth at this time of year, and yet in many ways they just ignore it and go their own way, just walking in darkness, regardless of how many Christmas lights they put up. And sadly, this is the world in which we live, really, isn't it? And we're so fortunate and blessed that we've been called to an understanding of God's Word. And I often find sometimes, particularly at the baptism last night, that we sometimes get concerned that we're not good enough or worthy enough. And this sister expressed the same things through her daughter to me, that she didn't want to get baptized because she didn't feel worthy of it. And it's trying to understand that we're not trying to achieve perfection here. It's not a washing away of the filth of the flesh, as Peter was saying in his writings. It's the answer of a good conscience towards God. And that's the most important thing, isn't it? It's not that you've perfect and you've reached perfection, but you recognise quite the opposite. You recognise that you're a sinner and that you are a failure. And that's it. We are failures compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. But once you acknowledge that, and that you are then baptised, it's a whole different ball game, because now we've been covered by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as long as we strive our best to do that which is right and pleasing in His sight, God willing, we should be granted everlasting life. And we're given the bread and the wine that's before us upon the table this morning to remind us that God has not only called you, but He's been prepared to let His Son die for you, that you might realise the love that God has for you as individuals. And I think we sometimes forget that. We get so fearful of a coming judgment seat. My wife obviously worked at the nursing home. And certainly as we get older and older, and your end becomes closer and closer, you get more and more worried about the life you've led. And have you been good enough? Well, that again is not for us to answer. The Lord Jesus Christ will make you good enough. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will make us right at God's appearing. And I think this is what John's trying to say here. That we have this advocate who's there to help us through our times of difficulty. So he talks about being in the light and walking in the light. And he says in John 3:15 that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God hasn't called you out of the world for you to then be destroyed. What's the point in that? What God has done is called you out of the world, and He's hoping that the light might grow in you, that you might manifest that light to other people that you meet, whether you're at the bus stop, whether you're at school or college, or whether you're at work, wherever it might be, your role is now to try to reflect that light to others around us. That when we look at these dismal, dark, wintry evenings and you see the Christmas lights, you think, oh, wow, that looks pretty. Because it's enlightening, isn't it? And that's what God wants you to be like Christmas lights sparkling in the world in which we live, bringing some light to the darkness of the world in which we live. And then he goes on in John 5 and he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And although you can read the word of God and eternal life is there, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we see that eternal life, that which was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. How that we should strive to live our lives now being enlightened by the word of God. And as long as we're striving to do that, don't get worried about facing a judgment. See, there will be one, but don't be on the negative all the time. What we forget sometimes is when you look at this word, the judgment, it can mean to discern, to distinguish between. Now, you read the passages about those good and faithful servants, and rulership over 10 cities, rulership over 5 cities, rulership over 2 cities. In many ways, this is the work that has to be done in the future age at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that maybe He'll give you one city to look after. If you've got a city the size of Birmingham, that's going to be a hard job, isn't it? If you have Coventry, it's a third the size, well, a quarter of the size, probably. And then you may have 2 cities then, or 3 cities, or 4 cities. But it's not always a case of judgment to condemnation. It's a judgment to be rewarded for your work that you've done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. you're going to have to go and look after Coventry. Poor you. But then, but that's how we see that we have roles to do in the coming world in which we're going to live. So please don't always look at judgment in the negative. Look at it more in the positive. They're good and faithful servant. And don't be dragged down by the worries of this life, but try to see through the darkness to the joys in the world to come. That's what we're, this is what the Word of God is all about. An exhort is to pull you together, have someone standing by your side and being encouraging you to go forward for the coming week. And so that's what we should be trying to do, brothers and sisters. In John 6:54, it says, "Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." And that's what we're here for this morning, to partake of the bread and the wine, the symbols of the body given and the blood shed for us, brothers and sisters, that our sins should be removed, that we're made righteous before the Lord God. And so we have the message to walk in light. And so if you go to, John 8 says, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Don't get stumbling around in the dark. What does God's word say to us? What are we supposed to try to do? And that's what we should be doing. Trying to walk in the light. "For the fruit of the Spirit," in my revised version says, "for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing or acceptable unto the Lord." And that's what we're striving to do. Look at the way we live our lives. Is this in accordance to what we read? Is this the way a brother and sister should walk and live a life in Christ? I was living in the world 40-odd years ago with my mates, always drinking and whatever, and I've got no friends left. I have one friend who's a professor at Sussex, and we text occasionally on birthdays and whatever, because I had to make the clear distinction. Friends in the world is enmity with God. So what do I want to pick? What is the choice for me? And so all my footballing mates, my rugby mates, my cricket mates, my athletic mates and whatever mates I used to have had to disappear, because I didn't want to walk in darkness. I had to make the choice between walking in light and walking in darkness. And the word of God was telling me, this is the way to walk. Walk ye in it. And so we have to look at our lives and make these decisions, because if we're not careful, we get drawn away one way or another, and then our life becomes extremely difficult. So it's trying to focus on, what does God want us to do? How should we live and walk our lives? He goes on to say, verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Some of my friends are millionaires, and they really want to tell you how well they've done in life, and what they own, and what they've got, and the four cars in the garage, and the motorbike, and the boat, and his trips to South Africa, and round the world watching England play rugby, and whatever. And we look at it and we think, well, it all sounds very good, but it isn't fulfilling. I don't find that fulfilling at all. But last night, when I was giving a talk to the sister who was being baptized at 88 years old, you know, that was a joy to behold. At 88, you eventually realize that you've wasted all your life in a sense, and now you've seen the light. Seen the light and come to it. And she had to make a big decision because her husband is a staunch Catholic and didn't even come to the baptism. Her daughter does, who's a sister, and her husband's a brother, but her other brothers and children, they came as well to watch, but sadly not the husband, but he's 90, so we've got a few years yet to work on him, so who knows. But it's just thrilling to see someone who's struggled with problems and difficulties over the Bible and then comes to acknowledge the truth. That's so rewarding. You don't get that as a millionaire. You don't get those kind of experiences. And it's trying to understand how the Word of God can motivate even individuals in this day and age in which we live now. So he talks about walking in light. But all things, verse 13, he says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And this is what we're looking at, isn't it, brothers and sisters? When you're in the light, you suddenly realise, is that really important? And you make your decisions. Is that really important? And when you look at the life the Lord Jesus Christ led, and you look how after his death and resurrection, and you look at the way religion has gone, how religion, people wear the gold and the silver and the bridery and all that, it's just not the way Jesus would have lived his life. Before I became a brother in Christ, we went to Malta for our holidays, and we were watching this crowd. It was a festival, and they've all got plaster casts around the lampposts of saints and things like that, and they're all walking to this big church, and they all walked in, and I was standing at the end going to take a photograph, and it suddenly, I just looked in and I thought, this is just so not the Word of God. And they've got gold plates, gold candles, silver candles, precious stones stuck on the gold. And then you saw the priests in white with gold embroidery, then those in red with gold embroidery, and green with gold embroidery. Then you saw all the other, and then you came right down to the back, and you come to the people who were right at the very back. And they hadn't even got any shoes to wear. And you think to yourself, they've lost the plot. And this is the trouble, walking in darkness. Because Jesus never had anything. He didn't even have to lay a house where to lay his head. Nothing to sleep. You know, this is what we're told, is not to be drawn by the world and its avarice and its greed and the things that it wants. It's about the Word of God is the most important thing. And he goes on to say, wherefore, he says, arise thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And that's a quotation from Isaiah 26. About arising, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, you might talk about that as being the resurrection. But what about coming out from the waters of baptism? You know, the waters of baptism. We now a new person, walking newness of life. And this is what the Word of God should be giving to us. We're no longer sleeping like the world, brothers and sisters, but we're awake and alive to what's happening in the world in which we live. So that's the message that John is trying to give us, that we should walk in light. If you go back to our reading in 1 John, so that's what he was saying. If we say that we have fellowship with him, verse 6, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light, as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so that's what we have to strive to do, brothers and sisters. Walk in the light of the Word. See what instruction and knowledge is giving us, and try to apply that in our everyday lives. And yet, strive as we might, we still have difficulties and we have problems. And we can see this, brothers and sisters. It just happens in our lives, doesn't it? You try to do good and something goes wrong. Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Because none less than Brother Paul had these same problems and difficulties. Romans 7, pick it up at verse 20. We'll pick it up verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And this is from Paul. You know, he's persecuted the church, delivered some to death, stood there and held the clothes for those who were about to stone Stephen, and yet realizes what a terrible thing he's done in his life, and yet now is encouraging us all to become brethren and sisters. He knows what it's been like walking in the world and doing the things of the world, but now he realizes what's good. But he still recognizes that even though he's a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he still has these problems within him. Now, verse 20, if I do that when I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And we looked at that this morning, how that even from little children, you argue and squabble over a rattle before you're even conscious enough to know what it's all about. We were looking at that. That is his human nature that runs within us from children. It's there all the time. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And that's how he feels. He is a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's not get too depressed, brethren and sisters. If Paul recognised what it was like struggling in the world, he knows how we feel about all these things. But he goes on to say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself saw the Lord, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And it's that continuous battle, the word of God against the word of darkness. But then he goes to say in verse 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's what we're trying to do, brothers and sisters. If we're striving to walk after the Spirit in the light, there is no condemnation for us. Don't be so negative in our lives. Try to be positive, looking for the good things to come, for the kingdom of God to be established upon this earth. The role that you might have in going out and preaching around the world, in bringing law and order to a city that's in chaos and turmoil at this moment, in some far-flung part of the globe. These are the things that we should be looking for and hastening for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look at that in the second chapter now, just briefly, because the time is going by. So in the second chapter of 1 John, he then says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in. And this is the things we look at, brothers and sisters. The world is all about consumerism. It's about capitalism and about greed. Whichever political party you see, if they're all the same. And we see all the worst side of politicians coming out at this moment in time while the country's in turmoil. Even the church is trying to have a meeting to get together to try to resolve their differences in Parliament, you may have heard in the news, because they've all lost the plot, so it would seem. For all this is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. These things will come to an end, because the next verse says, and the world passes away. It's in the present tense. The world is passing away. It's changing as we're living every day by day, brothers and sisters. There's going to come a time when this is all going to come to an end. The world passes away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. And that's what we have, brothers and sisters. The word of God that helps us abide forever. So when we look at the end of the chapter, this is what I'd like to just leave you with. Verse 28 says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his presence. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also that doeth righteousness is begotten of him. Here then, brethren and sisters, is the confidence that we should be having, and that we shouldn't be ashamed when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ in his presence. And we come now to partake of bread and wine, the emblems of our absent Lord, to remind ourselves that he hasn't brought us out of darkness to perish, brothers and sisters. He's brought us out of darkness to give us a kingdom, and a wonderful kingdom. And he wants you to be there in that kingdom, working with him to bring this world to understand and know the Lord as the waters cover the seas.